Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody stopping my heart. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I'm your danger zone, son. So bad I thought of a die. But ain't no one was stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got lost in some time. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So dig on, step in and make it alright. How you sleep at night? Only do it by if you will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out. It's only his grace. Only do it. He said he would.
So I trust him at all times.
I'm about to lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me to everything. Cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting.
I need a whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses.
Cause they're always on time.
Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gon' get mine.
Only do it, said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Only do it, I guess he will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that.
The greatest victory of my life. When it comes at your best and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right.
So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause he gon' show up just like he did the last time. And the last time.
God on tonight. Hallelujah. Won't he do it like he said he would? Praise God on tonight. Hallelujah. We thank God for everybody who has called in tonight, everybody who has tuned in tonight. This is the Anointed Truth of Christ, uncensored. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Elder Andre Prevost. Praise God. And on behalf of myself and First Lady Prevost, we welcome you out to the program on tonight. Hallelujah. And tonight we will be, hallelujah, doing a rebroadcast, so to speak. Hallelujah. We're going to take a trip, hallelujah, back in the time, so to speak. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I'll pass the mic to First Lady, and she's going to give you a little bit for more details on tonight's message. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the recording is from something Bible study I did like a couple of years ago, preferably in 2014. And, you know, I've been having it on my phone for some time, so I thought it would be insightful, enlightening, and an encouragement, a time to renew your strength. You know, and continuing on with, you know, change with a changed mind. Amen. Hallelujah. So the message is coming out of, the lesson is coming out of the book of Luke, the book of Luke. It's beginning at Luke chapter 21, and we go into Luke chapter 22 in full. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I hope you enjoy. I hope you are encouraged something out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, all glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And immediately following the message, praise God, we will be opening up the line for testimonies and prayer requests and comments upon the word. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you will, get your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, come to you with humbling you don't know how to say thank you. Lord, thank you for leading us and guiding us as you see fit, Lord. Lord, thank you for leading us to your Son, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son for dying for our sins, Lord. And we did not deserve this, Lord. But thank you because you are so good. You are so worthy that you are so good. Because you are so good, you came down here and saved us, Lord. You gave us an opportunity to get in the house, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Even when we strayed away from you, when we forgot about you, when we just used some serious things, Lord. Oh, God, Lord, you still came down here and died for our sins, Lord. Thank you for being so good, Lord. Thank you for being you, Lord. Thank God, shut up. Oh, Lord, you are so good. Thank you. It's only because you are so good. Nothing that we did. It's not by our works. It's not because we did so good and we were so good, Lord. It's because you were good. And I thank you. And I love you, Lord. Lord, I shout out all of our shit. We got to do this. We got to think about our sin. We got to do this. My rebuke. Any unclean. And evil spirits, I'm just going to try to hinder your people from getting out this world, which you meant for them to get out this world. Lord, I shall rebuke them in the name of Jesus. So they have no power over this line. Lord, I shall over us. They have no power over us. We have the power. You want control, Lord. Use us. And God, use us as you see fit. Take control. Let us sit down and let you stand up and you just have your way, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. We're coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 22. And I think we're picking up at verse 47. We're going to finish chapter 22 off from 47, from chapter 22, verses 47 through 71. But before we go there, I want to recap on what we learned yesterday. Just a quick recap on what we learned yesterday. We learned about from 24 to 26, it talks about argument over who was to be greatest. And we found that the one who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be the one who is like a child. These are people who are humble. People who are least in the earth are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So don't strive to be great down here because you are already great in the kingdom of heaven. Greatness does not rely on being great. You don't rely on a title to make you great. You don't rely on people to make you great. You don't rely on your surroundings to make you great. Because you have God, it's because you have God that you are great in the kingdom of heaven. It's not a title. It's because God says you are a child of God and it's because of him that you are great. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to skip down to verses 31 through 34. And we learned about that disciples will be tested. We as disciples will be tested. We as disciples will be tested. Here Jesus warning the disciples, and that tells me that we will be warned of oncoming danger before it gets to us. We will be warned about it. God loves us so much that he warns us about danger before it gets to us. So that's why we should have our minds set on God at all times. So when incoming danger is coming, God can warn you and you will see it. And how do we prepare for this test? We pray. When we're fit to be tested, we have to pray for strength so we won't fall into the temptation, which is the test. We have to pray for strength. We can't get our mind, we can't migrate our minds, let our minds wander off from God. Because if we let it wander off from God because we are tired and we feel like we can't do it no more, that's when you fall into temptation. That's God calls that going to sleep. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were sleeping. They were sleeping. And that's what we do. When we get our mind of Jesus, we have went to sleep. We are not awake. Because if we was awake, our eyes would have been on God. That's how we know when we're awake. That's how God knows when we're awake, because our eyes are on him. We are alert. We are on it. But when we take our eyes off the word, we are asleep. So it's important for us to stay up, stay in the word of God, and pray so we will not fall into temptation. Amen, amen. Let's move right along. We all learned about money bags, traveling bags, and swords. And that goes from verses 35 through 38. And this, in this particular section, it talks about it said Jesus, I'm just going to read little pieces, verse 35, chapter 22. And it reads, Jesus asked his disciples, when I sent you out without a money bag or a traveling bag or sandals, did you need anything? No, they answered. This right here, God is telling us, we learned in this section that we don't need those things. You know, after walking with God and not having a money bag, traveling bag, or swords, not having money in our pockets and clothes on our backs and no knives, no guns. We didn't need all that to stay safe. We didn't need that to survive. We didn't need those things to survive. And he's saying, as you go, now that you got the point that you don't need the stuff that you need to get along in life, to get ahead in life, he said, go on with the same mindset when you do get the house, when you do get the car, when you do get the money, when you do get the clothes. Go ahead in life with the same mindset that you really don't need this stuff. So when this stuff comes and goes, you will know. Your mind, you will not be relying on this stuff to keep you going. You will keep going because you know that you don't need that stuff. You know all you need is God for your journey. So as you go ahead, when God gets you prepared for the destiny or the destination he has prepared for you, as you go to that destination, as you prepare, and when you step into your destiny, going now with a new mindset that I don't need to rely on these things to get me ahead in life. These things that I have don't make me. These people around me does not make me. going into the new season. Since we all going into a new season. Going into a new season with a changed mind of I don't need the material things to get ahead in life. Because as long as I got God, I have everything I need. Amen, amen, amen. Moving right along. This is on a section of praying. 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 And it goes from verse 39 through 46. And this is on the subject of praying. And it says, Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives as he often did, and his disciples went with him. When they got there, he told them, pray that you won't be tested. This is the part. What I was talking about, I had kind of skipped ahead, but I talked about this when it said the disciples will be tested. That the disciples will be tested. I talked about that up there, but that's the same thing. You know, pray so you won't be tested. This is again, once again, the disciples were being tested, but this is at the point that they were being tested and they were asleep, and God warned them, pray. He was already praying for them that they had to wake up, be alert, be on alert, that danger is near. Danger is near. So that's just telling us we have to constantly be in prayer, constantly be alert of what's going on. Yeah. Keep your focus on God. Pray for strength. If you feel like you can't get through something, pray. Pray. It's not the time to say forget it. It's not the time to slack off on the word. It's not the time. Pray. Call somebody. Talk to them. Have them pray with you. Pray. Prayer is important. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And look what happened. Jesus was telling them to pray. But because it's important to pray, but right here in this section, they had went to sleep. So the result of you going to sleep and you not being alert and not praying, you fall into that temptation. Here is Peter. He fell into the temptation because it says that when Judas and the soldiers came up to arrest Jesus, it said Peter picked up his sword and sliced off the soldier's ear. He fell into temptation because he wasn't supposed to cut the soldier's ear off, you know, which led into another temptation of him denying Jesus three times. Then you had Judas. He was asleep. Judas was asleep. He was with the priest, but he was asleep. Which led him to go betray Jesus. So we have to stay alert, stay awake, and pray at all times, especially when we feel like we're at a point that we're weak and we can't get through. And we had enough. We have to stay awake. Call somebody, talk to somebody, have them pray with you, pray. Moving right along, and this brings us to the lesson we have today, which is verse 47. We're going to start at verses 47 and 43. And the title of this section is Jesus is Arrested. And it reads, while Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up. It was led by Judas, one of the 12 apostles. He went over to Jesus and greeted him with a kiss. Jesus asked Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' disciples saw what was about to happen, they asked, Lord, should we attack them with a sword? One of the disciples even struck at the high priest's servant, with his sword and cut off the servant's right ear. Enough of that, Jesus said. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed it. Jesus spoke to the chief priests, the temple police, and the leaders who had come to arrest him. He said, "Why do you come out with swords and clubs and treat me like I'm a criminal? I was with you every day in the temple, and you didn't arrest me. But this is your time, and darkness is in control." Amen, amen. That was our contemporary version of Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53. We actually did that one yesterday too, so. But I'm explaining that one once again. But I also want to read it out of the International. This is what it is, yeah. The New International Version, which is taking. And it reads, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Judas to kiss him. But Jesus answered him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" One of them struck in the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come before him, "I am leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness rages." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard had sat down together, and Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him sitting there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to live a little bit over that section, but praise the Lord, really stopped at 53. But let's backtrack. This section is talking about when the soldiers have now came, and it's time for Jesus. It's time for them to arrest Jesus, and it's time for them to send him to a cross. But the thing is, Jesus, he wasn't tripping at this point. People think Jesus was tripping, because he was saying, "Why are you treating me like a criminal?" You know, they thought he was tripping on them, like really asking them questions. But he was really being sarcastic, really. He was really saying that, the only reason that you are able to arrest me right now is because it's time for you to arrest me. Darkness is in control of them, but nothing happens.
It's a chilly downstairs.
Okay. Nothing happens without God. Nothing happens without God. That's what he was telling us. You are only able to do what you're doing because this is in God's timing. It was other times in the Bible that they tried to kill Jesus. But every time they tried to plot to kill him, they couldn't kill him at that time because it was not time. But at this moment right now, because it is time for him to be crucified, they are able to arrest him. And it's just like in our lives. No matter what people try to do, people will talk about you, people will try to kill you, people will try to destroy your character, people will try to put a bad name on you, But no matter what they do, they can't. Nothing can happen. Nothing can stop what God has planned for you. They can try to kill you, but it won't prosper. You know, they can try to slander your name to people, but it was not. It would not prosper. The weapon was formed. That's what the Bible say. It say no weapon formed against you will prosper. It ain't say it wouldn't form. The weapon will form. It'll look like, you know, they can, like, somebody can have a gun. They can have it in their back pocket. They can pull out the gun, load it, you know, pull the trigger back, but it won't prosper. It's going to fall, but whatever they have planned, it won't prosper. They have plans for people to dislike you. They have plans to take your position. They have plans to sabotage your destiny, you getting a job or whatever it may be. They have plans to do that, but their plans won't prosper unless it's in God's will. Unless it's in the will of God, it will not prosper. You know, that's why we should walk and not be afraid. We should walk and not be afraid. I had to learn that myself. I must confess. You know, I walked in fear a lot, scared of what might happen, what's going to happen. Not knowing what's going to happen leaves you in fear, to walk in fear. You know, God ain't give us a spirit of fear. You know, he said he will be with us. He said, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. You know, nothing happens without his permission. So we should walk around in fear and scared of what might happen. We shouldn't walk around in fear. Because God has the last say so. Amen and amen. In all things, let God's will be done at the end of the day. It's not as we will. It's not as I will. It's not our will. But we need to let God's will be done. Because either way, it's going to be done. God's will is going to be done. Praise the Lord. It probably takes some time for some people, but it will be done. His will be done. You might rebel at the moment, but his will be done. Because at the end, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow before they leave this earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's move right along. To section, this name of this section is called Peter Says He Doesn't Know Jesus. And it goes from verses 54 through 65. And it reads, Jesus was arrested and led away to the house of the high priest. While Peter followed at a distance, some people built a fire in the middle of the courtyard and went sitting around it. Peter sat there with them, and a servant girl saw him. Then after she had looked at him carefully, she said, this man was with Jesus. Peter said, woman, I don't even know that man. A little later, someone else saw Peter and said, you are one of them. No, I'm not, Peter said. Peter replied. About an hour later, another man insisted. This man must have been with Jesus. They both come from Galilee. Peter replied, I don't know what you are talking about. Right then, while Peter was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered that the Lord had said before a rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will say three times that you don't know me. Then Peter went out and cried hard. The men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him and beat him. They put a blindfold on him and said, tell us who struck you. They kept on insulting Jesus in many other ways. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. this section again says, Peter says he doesn't know Jesus. See, in this section, a little bit of the head, Jesus was telling Peter that he's praying for strength in his faith. But when he comes back, when his faith strengthens, go back and get the other and encourage them in their faith. But Peter was in denial and was like, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. I'm ready to do whatever you've got to go through. I'm ready to go through it with you too. Speaking without knowing, without even knowing. You know, he was speaking without even knowing what he was going to do at the time that it was to happen. So Jesus had told him that he was going to deny him three times before the rooster crowed. And this is at the time in this section that Jesus prophecy comes true. What he told Peter comes true. At that time, when it was time for it, it was all boiled down to, and I was out. It was time for Peter to die. I mean, Jesus to die. Peter had denied even on him. He denied him not once, not twice, but three times. He denied knowing Jesus. What he was boasting about and what he was all crunk up about wasn't all what it all was cranked up to be. At the end. This tells me, don't say what you're going to do. Don't say what you're going to do, because you don't know what you're going to do until you are in that situation. We have that bad. We'll be like, if it was me in that situation, I would have did this. Boy, I ain't like them. A girl, I ain't like them. I would never do that. I mean... I don't even curse out or whatever, but shoot, you know, I wouldn't take it that far to run you over, you know, or put you in jail. You know, we say stuff like that without even knowing what we would do in those type of situations. We always say what we would have did or what we was going to do or what we wouldn't do what the next person do. But when we get in those situations, the total opposite happens. You know, you claimed if it was me in that situation where somebody had a gun in my face, then I would have beat their butt. But when you get in that situation, you cry like a baby, telling them, please don't shoot. You know, you claim when you was in a situation, if I get in a relationship and I get a good man, shoot, I'm going to give him the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give him the world. I don't care. You know, if he, you know what I'm saying, we all make mistakes. If he make a mistake, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to wave it off because I ain't perfect. But you get in that situation, and when he does do something, you find out it ain't so easy to forgive a person. It ain't so easy to forgive them right away. It's some heartbreak that come into play. It's some heartbreak. That's why we shouldn't be quick to judge the next person. Because it was like, girl, she took that too far. She ain't have to run him over. She ain't have to burn up his house and his clothes. When you got in that situation, you seen exactly how she felt. You seen how she felt when he cheated on her. You seen how he felt when she cheated on him and he cheated on her. You seen how that. Now when you get in that situation, you be like you want to burn up some clothes. You probably don't do it, but you get in that situation. You want to beat them down. You kind of want to run them over with the car. You might want to beat them with a 2x4. You know. You never know. You can't say what you're going to do without even knowing what you even know what you're going to do. You don't know what you're capable of. You don't know how it feels to be in that situation to say that you are not going, what you're going to do. So don't never say what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, because you have no idea what you're going to do or what you're not going to do until you get in that situation. Because it's easy for us to say what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. It's easy to say. No doubt about that. You know, our lips just want. We just want. Lips can say anything. But when it comes to getting that situation and taking action, the action speaks louder than what you said. Everything changed. So don't never say what you're going to do and what you're not going to do because you don't know. God knows what you're going to do. While you sitting up there saying, oh, girl, I'm your real friend. I ain't going to be like your other friend that's talking behind your back. And I ain't going to do all that. Don't do that because you don't even know why you're saying that about the other person. I ain't going to be like her. But you don't even know the reason why she doing it. You don't know the whole story. You don't even know the whole story and talking about what you're not going to do. When you get in that situation, you're going to find out that she was telling all your business, sleeping with your man and all that. And then you will see why old girl did what she did, why she ain't her friend no more. Then you get the big picture. So don't never say what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Praise the Lord. On to the next section. Oh, before we move on, it's carrying on in this next session because when Peter denied Jesus, it ain't making no better for Jesus. He took on everything by himself. Every time we sinned, he took a flash. He took some insults. You know, every time we sinned, every time, you know, go against what he told us, he got whipped. He got whipped every time we did something. I had to point that out. He got beat, talked about every time we did something. Praise the Lord. Moving right along. The next section says, Jesus is questioned by the council. And it reads, at daybreak, the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses got together and brought Jesus before their council. They said, tell us, are you the Messiah? Jesus replied, if I said so, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right side of God, all powerful. Then they asked, are you the Son of God? Jesus answered, you say I am. They replied, why do you need more witnesses? He said it himself. God, why do you need more sin? But he said it himself. Praise the Lord. This section is titled, Jesus is Questioned by the Council. Here's Jesus being questioned by the nation's leaders and the chief priests. The nation leaders, which are the people in the world, you know, the different nations and the leaders of those nations. You got the United States, you got the United Kingdom, you got, you know, all the different nations. And not just different nations as in countries, you know, nations, but you have different nations of people. You have different nations of people in here. He was talking, these are the leaders of those nations, of those people who was asking these questions. No, if you want to get the whole word of nation, really nationality, which is a group of people, different nations. And then you had the chief priest, who was like, the chief priest was like the pope. The pope, like we got a pope today. Like the Pope. And then you have the teachers of the law. teachers of the law of Moses, the religious folk. And they was asking him, was he the Messiah? They wanted to know, was he the Messiah? Who was he? They wanted to know who he was, because Jesus, at this time, Jesus had and worked all kinds of miracles. He was healing everybody. People was bringing all their money to Jesus, you know, because he had been so, you know, Jesus, you know, if you didn't know, now you find out that Jesus is God wrapped in flesh. He is the Almighty God wrapped in human flesh. You know, and some people, when he came, some people recognized who he was because God revealed it to them. And, you know, here he is brought before the leaders of the nations, of the church, you know, and the religious folk. He brought before all the leaders. And they want to know who he is because everybody following him. Now they losing money. Now they losing people. Now they can't use nobody because Jesus has healed these people. These people ain't blind no more. They aware that what's going on. And they want to know who was this man. Who is this man that's healing people? Who is this man that's opening people's eyes? Who is this man? They want to know. Because this man is taking all our money. This man is taking all our slaves. This man is taking all the fame, all the attention. Who is this man? They want to know. You know. Even though they know they finna kill him, they want to know who he is. They want to know, why is he got dealings with sinners? Why is he dealing with dirty folk? What people will call today dirty folk. With the drug addicts. What's his dealing with the prostitutes and the pimps? And the hoes and whoremongers. What's his dealing with those people? Why he hang around them people? Why he healing them people? Why he ain't around us rich folk, religious folk? So much perfect folk, us Hollywood stars. Why he ain't up there with us? Why he ain't up there with us people in the White House? We are the greatest in the world. We are the rich people. We are royalty. Why you not up there with us? That's what they want to know. They want to know, why are these people coming to you? Are you God? Are you the Messiah? Who are you? That's what they want to know. And that's what is going to happen. That's what happens. It happens today with people who turn their life over to God and let the Lord use them, use their life, use everything they have in their life, you know, and they help people. When people come to them for advice, hey, you ain't even got to ask for the money. People are just giving them money, giving them things, you know. And they don't come to me, they going like, who are you? Hey, dear Jesus, ain't you the son of David? Ain't you the same one that used to be out there whoring? Ain't you the same one that used to be out there pimping? Ain't you that same one that used to be out there on crack? Ain't you that same one that used to be on that shine? Matter of fact, ain't you that same one that used to sleep under the bridge for like 28, 30 years? You know, they're going to be like, who are you? Who are you? Because you're going to look so different. You're going to appear so different. You ain't going to be that same. You ain't going to be out on the block, walking the block, selling your behind like you used to do. You ain't going to be out there selling those drugs like you used to. So they're going to be like, who are you to try to tell me something? They're going to try to remind you who you used to be. They're going to try to remind you of who you used to be. And you know what? And you don't owe them no explanation. You don't owe them no explanation because God knows who you are. God knows what you've done. God is the one who forgave you. God is the one that healed you. The word of God is going to speak for itself. You don't have to say nothing. All you got to do is walk and live. Every time he did a hit, most of the time Jesus did a hit, he healed somebody. He ain't say go tell them. He said go walk. Go live it. Go on. Go show them what I did. Show is walking it out. See it in your actions. See it in your lifestyle. You ain't got to tell them, I'm a Christian. Hey, I'm a preacher. I'm a bishop. You ain't got to say that. People will clearly see in your life who you are by your character, what you stand for, your morals, what you ain't going to take, what you take, what you allow, what you don't allow. You don't got to say, you don't got to prove nothing. You ain't got to prove a thing. You ain't got to prove a thing. And what else is saying in the Bible? It say that don't worry about when you come to these points when people ask you questions, don't worry about what you will say. Don't worry about what you'll say because God is going to speak for you at that time. God is going to speak for you. So don't worry with your head, don't worry with your mind, because when you do speak, it's going to be God that's speaking. And as you can see, when they was asking questions, half of them, he ain't even answer. He said what the Father wanted him to say. He ain't speak when they wanted him to speak, he spoke when the Father spoke. Hello. So that's what we going to do. We ain't going to worry about what people got to say. We ain't going to worry about what we going to say when they ask us. We ain't got to worry about none of that. Because God going to speak for you. The word going to speak for itself. Who is the word? God is the word. How we know God is the word? Because it say in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word became flesh and walked among us. Who was the word that walked among us? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God walked in flesh. He's going to speak for you. The great I am, the one that sits high above the thrones, the one who can forgive whomever he wants, when he wants. The one that has made you a son, and you a daughter. Is the one who's going to be speaking. The one, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one who's going to be speaking for you. So don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to prove nothing. Just know that you are who God says you are. If God says you're a son, you're a son. If God says you're a daughter, well, that's who you are. If God says he forgave you, he forgave you. You ain't got nothing to prove. Just be. That's what God say. Just be. Just be. Because it's not by works that we are who we are. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we're so talented. It's not because we help brother so-and-so out with a ride. It's not because we help sister so-and-so out with a place to stay. It ain't because we help so-and-so go on grocery shop. That's not why we, that's not God, why God forgave us. That's not why God said we are sons and we are his daughters. We are his sons and daughters because he said so. It's not because of nothing. We were so good. We did so much good work. Cause, no, it's because he said we are. Because he said we are. God sees the change. When other people want to bring up, girl, they used to be out there. Girl, now they talking about they a Christian girl. She's talking about she a girl. She talking about she going to church. Girl, she got her life right, girl. She the same one used to be over there. Oh, hoeing. And, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, because you don't owe no people around you no explanation. Because another thing it says, no prophet gets honor in their own town. In their own town. No prophet gets no honor in their own town or country. And you can just take yourself and put yourself in the prophet's place. Because a prophet is not, it's just a person that talks to God. It's a person that communicates with God. No child, no son of God, no daughter of God is going to get any, he's not going to get, don't expect no respect, no honor in your own country, town, or city. Don't expect no people around you that knew you, what you used to do. Don't expect to get honor from them. Don't expect them to believe you, believe that you have changed. Don't expect them to believe you. Because some people can't just accept the change when people change. Just be. Just live. Just walk. They'll see one day. Just be. That's all you gotta do. Just be. Amen, amen. That was the end of Luke chapter 22. That was the end of chapter 22. Making good timing. Anybody who's listening, we have Bible study.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God, hallelujah, for that study done by First Lady Prevost on tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just be. Hallelujah. That's what thus says the Lord. He said, just be. Be what he said you are. Don't worry about nobody else. Praise God. You just be. Hallelujah. What God said you are. Praise God. So true. A prophet gets no honor in his hometown. Hallelujah. Jesus' brother said they didn't even want to hear what he had to say. Go talk to your disciples about that. We don't want to hear about it. Don't expect somebody out there tonight. Hallelujah. You're looking for approval from your friends, from your family. Hallelujah. Praise God. People you done grew up in church with. Hallelujah. Amen. But you're not going to get no honor among them people because them people think they know who you are. Hallelujah. They thought Jesus was a carpenter. Praise God. Hallelujah. They thought Jesus was Joseph's son. Hallelujah. They said, is this not Joseph's son? Well, to tell you the truth, no. Praise God. Hallelujah. This was not Joseph's son. But because they thank you, Joseph's son, they cannot see the God in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. They can't see the God in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. They can't see the change in you because they think they know who you are. Praise God on tonight. We thank God tonight. Hallelujah for that message. We thank God tonight for First Lady, that word. Hallelujah. We want to open up the line at this time. Do we have any testimonies or any prayer requests that are on the line on tonight? Hallelujah. Any testimonies or prayer requests on the line on tonight?
Thank God. Praise God.
Go ahead, Minister Maxine.
Okay. I just thank God and praise God for the word that came forth, awesome, powerful word, because the word of God is powerful. And who he say you are, that's who you are. In spite of what people think, in spite of what they say, in spite of how they may label you, in spite of how they may talk about you or put you down, push you to the side, whatever it may be, you are who he said
you are.
You
are the last party
and
in the conference.
And it is by design, because it's already predestined before the foundation of the world. And there's nothing nobody can do to change it, because God has already laid out the blueprint. So I just thank God and praise God, you know. So all we need to do is adhere to his word. He said, watch and pray. And so many of us, you know, we want to sit around and talk and talk and talk. Just pray. Pray, because God said prayer is powerful, and prayer changes things. So I just thank God and praise God. for what came forth on tonight. I enjoyed it, and I was blessed by the word, as always. Amen. And pray for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Praise God for Minister Maxine on tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. She said, pray for me. You know, I like to take those prayer requests straight to the throne. Praise
Amen.
God on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord, as humbly as we know how. First of all, Lord, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done, everything that you are doing in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for life, health, and strength on tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for grace, mercy, and forgiveness on tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We come before you right now on behalf of our sister in Christ. Hallelujah. Evangelist Maxine on tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. She just comes before the throne requesting prayer on tonight. Hallelujah. And you know, hallelujah, all things. You know, hallelujah, what she needs prayer for, Lord. Hallelujah. And we ask, Lord, that you give her her answer. Hallelujah. That they can see you manifest in her life, Lord. Hallelujah. The answer that she's praying for on today. Hallelujah. And we thank you right now, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you right now because we know that it is so. We claim it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we believe it for our sister tonight. Hallelujah. And we claim it and we magnify you right now for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. And amen on tonight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank God for Evangelist Maxine on tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for everything God is doing in her ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got her going here and there, speaking words here and there to people. Praise God. Using her in a mighty way. Praise God. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we thank God. Hallelujah. That God is going to, hallelujah, answer that prayer that she's been praying about. Hallelujah. Praise God. We believe God for it on tonight. We touch and agree with it. The Bible says when any two come together, touching and agreeing on anything, it says anything in the earth, it shall be done by the Father who is in heaven. We believe that the Father's already done it tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And we claim it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah on tonight. Praise God. Do we have anybody else online tonight? Praise God with a testimony or a prayer request on tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God on tonight. Well, we just truly thank God, hallelujah, for everything that transpired on tonight. We thank God, hallelujah, for that word. Hallelujah from First Lady. Hallelujah. Prevost on tonight. Amen. A powerful, powerful message. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yeah, I just want to thank God and Lady Prevost for bringing the word of truth. You know, praise God for revelation because we don't know nothing if God don't reveal it to us. And so I just praise him for revealing all the truth that we need to know. You know, the word of God says that he has given everyone a measure of faith. And so we know that we have faith as much as a mustard seed, what we can do. So what if we let our faith grow? But see, therefore, we have no excuse because God has given us faith. We know that his word is true. You know, so when Jesus says unto the disciples or to anyone such and such a thing, we know it's going to come to pass, you know. And so we just trust him and we love him because he has told us. He said, you know, behold, I have told you. So therefore, we have no excuse. So it's on us if we want to get into the kingdom or not. I just love him for being truthful, a keeper of his word, and revealing to us the light, the truth, and the way. I just praise him, and I love him.
Amen. Amen. We thank God, hallelujah, tonight. Praise God for the watchman being on the line. Praise God. We thank God for you tonight, Pastor. Sister Smothers, praise God. Hallelujah. We thank God for you being on the line. Praise God. We thank God for Evangelist Maxine on tonight. We have had a blessed time in the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go back in our archives and see if we can find some more Bible studies we've done. And we've recorded, like I said, we've been doing this for some time now. Praise God. At least 4 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got a lot of stuff. Hallelujah. We've been traveling with the Lord. Hallelujah. For a long, long, long time. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we thank God. Hallelujah. For everything he's done, everything he's doing. Hallelujah. We thank God for everybody who called in and tuned in on tonight. I've had a blessed time in the Lord. Praise God. And we're going to go ahead and pray out tonight with the word of prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you on tonight, Lord, for your word that you came and brought us, Lord. Hallelujah, to just be. Hallelujah, just be who you said we are. Hallelujah, child of the Most High God, a son of the Most High God, a daughter of the Most High God. I am not who people say I am. Hallelujah, I am who God says I am. Hallelujah, and I will just be exactly what he wants me to be. Hallelujah tonight. And we praise you tonight, Lord. We magnify you. We lift your name up high and holy because you're worthy to be praised, Lord. Hallelujah, and we want you to know, Lord, that we love you. Hallelujah, and we appreciate you, Lord, for everything that you do. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise God on tonight. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every last one of us till we all come back together again. On behalf of First Lady and myself, we love y'all. Everybody go with God. Hallelujah. And don't forget to say your prayers and just see what God can manifest in your life on tomorrow. And we'll see y'all on tomorrow night. Hallelujah, praise God, on Care Broadcast Radio Network with Hallelujah Fellowship of Unity. So y'all tune in tomorrow night. Y'all have a blessed time in the Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord another hand praise for you. I just want to thank God. You know, when we talk about sowing and reaping, gifts and surprises, all of those things. But I've been being, people have been blessing me here lately, you know. Some people call me to go to work, and I tell them, I don't think I feel like it. Praise God. But then somebody will come by and, you know, put $100 in my hand or something like that, or mm-hmm. somebody just come by and just drop some money on me. And lately I've just been, haven't had to go to work in a month or two, you know, and I've still been doing the same thing, you know, spending money, you know, like giving to feed people, stuff like that. And then somebody, people have just been coming around just blessing me lately.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 That's what I'm talking about. is what you build up in your beginning
mm-hmm.
will be what you receive in your end.
Amen. Amen.
And so it's time to start building now. I remember Pastor Corey would say, if you don't put nothing in, you can't get nothing out. But it's another way she used to put it.
Whatever you plant is coming up, so if you got a whole single corn in your plant, it's going to run for that. If you plant, it will go into your future. Yeah, you need to start sowing into your future. Yes, he signed you give now whatever you give, you're sowing into your future. We learn how to become a gift of giving.
Yeah, if it don't be even in anything, you're always sowing into your future.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're young and don't educate yourself now, you're going to be making $10 an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blame it on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't take time to sow into your present for your future. So if it works all the way down, amen?
Yes.
And so if we don't do nothing now, you haven't put up anything for the future, amen?
Amen.
If you don't accept Jesus now, you won't have nothing for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is now unto then, amen?
Yeah.
And so let's all start sowing so you can have something later on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if you've been sowing, you don't know why people give it to you, but bless you, but people bless you that don't even know you.
Mm-hmm.
And you even want, well, here, man, here's $20, here, here. Don't pay for your food, here. Here. You know, and then you'll
That's God, amen.
And so let's learn that that's going to be a lesson, amen. What you do now is going to be your return later. You know, it's kind of like Social Security. If you don't put no Social Security in, you ain't going to draw none later on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have nothing to draw. Praise God. So let's learn that as a given thing. God would always give it back to you somehow. Amen.
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 Well, today, you know, I'm not going to minister today. We have Bishop Andre
Prevost.
It's a two. Is it Andre? Andre?
Yeah, well, one's an elder, one's a bishop.
All right. We've got Elder Prevost, amen. Praise God. He's going to give a word for us today. He's from Houston, and he come up from Houston to be with us. And we want he and his wife, and I thank God for he and his wife coming up from Houston to be part of us. Amen.
Amen.
And so I just praise God for that. I'm saying God is working. I said, God's going to send some people here to help us all the time. Amen. I don't care how he does it, he's going to do it. And I've got my faith built that God is going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
And the gainsayers, then God's going to say, it's what I've done. And now you yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So then, Brother Andre Prevost, Elder, we call him Bishop Andre Prevost. He can come up and give a word. And his wife, you know I'm bad with names.
Aisha
Prevost, amen. Both here, y'all have to tell me your name sometimes because I could be around you 15 years. Or has it been 20? She's been around us over 20 years and I still get her name wrong. And so I said, just answer when I say something. Let's all stand for Mr. Prevost, amen. He don't care. He does the Care Radio Network, amen. Care Radio Network, and so y'all need to listen in some night, amen. Praise God.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together right now in your name, Lord. We want to ask that you allow all of us to decrease today, Lord, so that you can increase. Allow me to sit down, Lord, so that you can stand up. Simply just use me, Lord. as your instrument of instruction on this morning. And Lord, we praise you and we magnify your holy name, for you are truly worthy to be praised, you're worthy to be magnified, and you're worthy to be lifted up. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord on this morning. It's truly a blessing once again to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. A blessing to be amongst the saints. Amen. It's a blessing to know that God is here today.
Amen.
Praise God. And I know God is here today because he said in his word that when two or more come together in his name, that he will be in the midst, that he will be in the middle. And if we are to believe what the word of God tells us, we are to believe every word that's in this book. Praise God. As the Bishop Misson, praise God, we have the radio ministry, and we call the radio ministry, it's uncensored. Praise God. And I always tell people, that don't mean you're going to hear some cussing, or what you might think is cussing. You might hear that, what you might think is cussing. Praise God. Hallelujah. But really what uncensored means is it's the true and unadulterated word of the living God. It's not watered down. It's not sugar-coated. See, what we have to understand about the Word of God is medicine to our souls. It's medicine to our spirits. And when you go to the doctor gives you some medicine. Amen. Sometimes the medicine is thick. Sometimes it's bitter. The medicine is bitter. Praise God. And in some institutions, religious institutions today, they take the Word of God and they water it down. Amen. It's not as thick as it should be, or they sugarcoat it. Amen. So it won't be as bitter. Praise God. But sometimes the word of God is thick. Sometimes the word of God is bitter. We've all been to the hospital and the doctor has given us a pill that was too thick. Oh, how am I going to swallow that big old pill? I don't know how I'm going to get that down. Praise God. But if I were to change the chemical concept of this pill, of this medicine, it won't have the effect that it should have.
Amen.
Amen. In some cases, when you mess with the chemical composition, it actually makes it worse. Amen. When you tamper with the chemical composition of that medicine, the same thing goes with the Word of God. When you tamper with the Word of God, amen, it decreases the effect it should have. That's why we see so many people in mega churches, amen, and they're prospering in one area, but they're dying in another. They're alive in one area, but they're dead in another area because they're being given watered down word. Praise God. And that's just the truth. It's watered down. Hallelujah. Amen. And I would tell somebody on the street, it's not that dope you used to, that cheap dope. Hallelujah. That dope that's cut up, stepped on. That's how we say it in the streets. Amen. That's how we got to talk to them out there so they can get the understanding of what we're saying. Praise God. Because everybody don't go to the doctor and take medicine. Praise God. Everybody don't come to church and hear the word of God and know the difference between a watered down word and sugar-coated word and the true, authentic word of God. Amen. So we say it's uncensored, hallelujah, because it's the truth. Amen. The Bible says the truth will make you free. See, it's a difference between being free and between being free indeed. Praise God, because you can be free. In other words, I like you mentioned, there was a man that was on the run for 2 years. He was free. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in prison, but he wasn't free indeed because people were still looking for him. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when we come to Christ, amen, with the truth makes us free indeed. In other words, I ain't got to worry about nobody coming up after me. I ain't got to worry about rumors and stuff like this coming behind me, chasing me down. Praise God, because I'm free indeed, because the truth has made me free. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And I was reading this a couple years ago, amen, and I noticed something about the scripture. I was studying the resurrection. I was doing something for Easter, and I was studying the resurrection of Christ, amen, and I noticed something that it says in St. John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and she seeing the stone taketh away from the tomb. Praise God. And it's caught my attention, praise God, because Mary Magdalene, I had a misconception growing up that Mary Magdalene had some kind of faith that the other disciples didn't have.
Praise God. Then when she went to the tomb, she actually was going to see Jesus, that she believed that he had risen from the grave. Praise God, as he predicted, as he said in many scriptures before. But then I come to find out she went down there to prepare the body. She bought some oils, amen, some incense. She was expecting the body to be in the same condition that they left it in. Mm-hmm. Praise God, hallelujah. But when she arrived, she seen this ain't the way we left it. The stone's been moved away. Praise God. And a lot of us, we have to understand our lives, they mirror Christ. Because we said we took on his name. We are Christians. We're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to go through something. But that don't mean we got to stay in it, because we supposed to go through it, not stay in it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But a lot of us, we do this mentally. We go through it, and instead of continuing through the suffering and continuing through whatever trials and tribulations come our way, we stay stuck in it mentally. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We could physically be already out of the situation. Amen. We done already got that divorce. Praise God. We've been and left that old job. Hallelujah. We don't even go to that church no more. But mentally, we still stuck in that suffering process. Praise God. And people come and expect you to be stuck in the same thing they left you in. You ever not seen somebody for a while, and they when they do finally see you again, they expect you to be in the same predicament or the same situation you were in the last time I saw you? And that's what Mary Magdalene was basically doing. She was going to see Jesus, but she was going expecting him to be in the same situation, the same circumstances, she was expecting him to be in the same position that he was in the last time I saw you. The last time I saw you, you were wrapped in dead clothes. The last time I saw you, you were in a tomb. The last time I saw you, you were broke. The last time I saw you, you were in a storefront. Praise God. The last time I saw you, you were staying in an apartment. The last time I saw you, you were staying with somebody else. The last time I saw you, you were walking. Amen. And now that I've come to see you, amen, and I've actually come to help you out. I've come to help make your life a little better, because I'm really expecting to find you the same way and in the same position and in the same place that I left you in. But when Mary Magdalene arrives at the tomb, she noticed this ain't the way I left it. Praise God. And I began to realize something about everything, that nothing really changed. Amen. I'm not saying that nothing changed as far as we didn't get salvation and Jesus didn't rise with the power in the hand. I mean, everything that was going on around Jesus was still going on once he rose from the grave. They were still talking about him. He was still the number one enemy of the state. They still wanted to know, well, if he is still alive, we need to find him again and kill him again. Amen. Because he is still a threat. Ain't nothing changed. The disciples still don't believe. They still doubt. Praise God. After he done said everything that he said I was gonna do, it has come to pass. Y'all have seen it. Each and every time y'all seen it, y'all say, "Ooh, that truly is the Son of God right there." And then I do another miracle. There you go. "Ooh, you truly are the Son of God." And here it is again. I said, "Hey, I'm going to tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it back up." Mm-hmm. And then it's the third day, and they still don't believe. They're not coming down there to see the stone rolled away. See, they should have been going down there expecting to see the door open. Mm-hmm. But instead, she went down there, amen, expecting to see the stone still in front of the tomb. And then she gets down there. It's the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning. Amen. And the stone's been rolled away. And she can't believe it. So the Bible says in verse 2, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid them." Now, if you come back to a place, amen, say you last time you saw somebody, they was doing real bad. They was in an apartment or and they were behind on their rent. You go to their apartment to see if they okay, and they not living there no more. Instead of you assuming, well, maybe God has blessed them, Jesus opened up the windows of heaven, poured out a blessing. They haven't room enough to receive. Maybe they got a house now. Instead, they assume maybe they're homeless. They done lost everything. They done lost everything. And you run back and you tell people that I went back. Amen. I didn't see his wife there. Maybe they got a divorce. I don't know. Praise God. I didn't see the children there. Maybe they finally put them kids out. Them kids were bad. Praise God. They assume the worst. When the last time you probably saw them, that person probably said, "Hey, I trust God. My marriage is gonna get better. Hey, I trust God. My health is gonna get better. My living situation is going to get better. My mind and my soul is going to get better. I trust God that it's going to get better." But instead of you believing, well, maybe it got better, you just naturally assume it got worse, and you go tell other people it got worse. Praise God. And then they go running to see, "I want to see what you see." That's what people do. Amen. They want to, that's how they get on the phone, they gossip about you, they talk about you. They're my, "Oh, blessing to see y'all, so blessing to see you." As soon as they, girl, let me tell you, they came to church today, girl, and they look like, I don't know where they got it from. They done lying and stealing from somebody. I don't know. Praise God. That's what they do. That's what we do. We get together and we talk, and we say we not gossiping, but we only say it at the point out the fact that we gossiping, but don't let nobody know we gossiping. Praise God. We not gossiping. We just, you know, brother and sister talking about what happened in church today. Can we not do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. But the truth is, that's what we're doing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Guilty as charged. Hallelujah. And what I like, we know John wrote this book. John wrote this book. We know John is the other disciple. Well, we theologians and scholars, they say, hey, that's the other disciple is John. Notice that people always say, you know, they try to discredit the Bible and say it has a human factor to it. Man wrote it. But you can see, if you really look for the human factor, you can see the human factor. Now that's Peter. I'm John. You know, this ain't about me, but I'm going to say Peter ran down there to the scepter. She came and told Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a human factor right there, because I'm writing it. I'm not using my name, but I'm saying I'm the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Praise God. When we read forth, they say, "Then Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple came. And they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter." I got there first. I'm not going to say it like that, because this ain't about me. But I'm going to say the one who Jesus loves, he got there first. But see, even the human aspect does not affect the outcome of this scripture, because when they both, it don't matter who got there first, Jesus still wasn't there. They were still looking for him and they couldn't find him. And when we drop down to verse 8, it says, hallelujah, verse 10, it says, "Then the disciples went away again to their own home." So that the disciple, the Peter and the other disciple, they had left. And Mary was still there crying and weeping, because this person ain't where I left them, and I don't know where they at. I don't know if somebody just took them. Amen. I don't know what's been happening, and that's what happens in our lives. Have you ever went looking for somebody and you ain't know where they were? You automatically thought the worst, and you became concerned about that person. Praise God. But you cared so much about that person that you looked until you found out what happened to this person, and sometimes we might be finding out that we're looking in the wrong place. That's the only reason why we can't find them. One scripture said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? I have elevated them from one level to another level. Amen. But you're still looking on the same level that they were on the last time you saw them. Praise God. Amen. And that's going to take place with a lot of people, and a lot of people in here in our lives. People are going to come looking for us on one level when God has already elevated to us to another level. They're going to be surprised to see, amen, that when they come to 2501 Centennial, that Care Church may not be here no more, but it might be in that big building across the street. I'm just hypothetically speaking, amen, you could buy that building across the street. God is capable of doing anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm looking for it over here, but I turn around and it's over there. But you can't come over here yet, though, because we still remodeling. Praise God. That's what Jesus said. Wait, you can't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended. Hallelujah to my Father. There's still some things going on. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm getting a little bit ahead. Hallelujah. But Jesus saw her weeping. Jesus was right there. Hallelujah. And but she assumed that he was a gardener. Amen. Why did she assume? I know. Don't you know how Jesus looked? Hallelujah. Been walking with him 3.5 years. Amen. Maybe longer. And you don't know how he looked. Praise God. The problem is he didn't look. Not only is he not where he was when you left him, he don't look like he looked when you left him. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Because when you left him, the only thing that was, they say they beat the skin off of him. Mm-hmm. That the only thing that was left on the body of Jesus was the blood of Jesus. They say they disfigured his jaw, his eyes was out of his socket. They had pulled out, amen, his joints out of place. They had put a crown of thorns around his head and pushed it in, so where now there are holes in his head, digging into his head, blood streaming down. All that should be dried up on him. He should look a horrible mess right now. Even if he was alive, how would he look? But he didn't look like he did when they left him. So since she is looking at him and didn't realize that's him, because you're not supposed to be looking as good as you're looking right now. Not the way I left you. The way I left you, amen, the way I left that marriage, amen, last time I seen y'all too, y'all should be, I don't know, in divorce court right now. I should have seen y'all on Judge Tola already, praise God. Hallelujah. The way I left you, I should have seen your kids on Scared Straight already. Praise God, amen. But you're not looking the way you looked when I left you. You're not talking the way you talked when I left you. Praise God, and you're not in the place where I left you at. God has elevated you. Praise God, hallelujah. And the thing about hallelujah, see, this is our part right here. This is because I study the Lord's divinity as well as his humanity, and as us following in God's footsteps, we're going to have to, the Bible says, suffer for a little while. Praise God. And I mentioned earlier about mentally staying in that suffering stage. And how long? Yeah, we're going to have to suffer. Jesus suffered. I just described how he looked, but he didn't stay there. Amen. The tomb was rolled away. It was up for him to walk out of the tomb. Praise God. But some of us don't realize that that tomb has been rolled, the stone has been rolled away. And we're just sitting there. Amen, praise God, stuck in our situation, stuck in our tomb. Amen, when the Lord is saying, I have already suffered for you. Before he died, he said something. He said, it's finished. It's finished means it's done. Amen, the tomb has already been rolled away. Amen, all you have to do is come forth. Remember he told Lazarus, come forth. Now, what if Lazarus would have just sat there and said, I can't come forth. I'm dead. I'm stuck in the situation I'm in. And you're telling me to walk out of this when I'm dead. But this is all going on in our heads. We're not physically dead. Amen. But our finances may be dead. And, well, hey, look, I'm in this rut. I'm just stuck in it. This is just the way it's going to be. Praise God. The ministries, amen. I tell people all the time, you think your ministry started off like this. The Bible says your latter day will be greater than your former day, but you got to stick with it and watch it grow. Praise God, amen. But some of us settle, and when we settle, we just sit there. We don't get up, even though the stone's been rolled away, and all we got to do is walk out of it. Praise God, hallelujah. Like watching Divorce Court, I love watching Divorce Court because people been married 15, 20 years and I was watching one and the wife said, well, he left one night, he was gone at 2 o'clock in the morning and it turns out he was with another woman, he was cheating. And the judge told her, said, well, when did this happen? This happened about 6 months after we got married. Wait a minute, y'all been married 15 years already and you still stuck. You never walked out of the tomb. Praise God. Some of our children have grown up to be active members in society, but we still see them little bad children that gave us hell when they was in school. Praise God. But we can't look and see that they've excelled from that. Praise God. We can't look at our husbands and wives and see that they're on a different level because we still remember what they did. So we're still stuck there instead of walking out. Praise God. And the thing about it, didn't nothing really change in Jesus' life? They still doubted it because that's the whole reason why y'all here. Y'all didn't doubt I was going to get up. Praise God. I done walked through a wall. And here come Thomas like, nah, I just don't see it. I just don't believe it. Now you're looking at me, and you see the holes in my hands, but they're still not good enough. Now you gotta feel it. I gotta feel it for myself. I gotta feel the tangibility of it myself. Praise God. I gotta see the papers on that house to make sure that's your house. Praise God. I gotta see the marriage license. I wanna make sure y'all married, cause y'all could be shacking now. So I need to see the marriage license. Y'all say y'all ran away and did this. Praise God. You say amen, you didn't know nobody in that college to get your child into that school or get your child that job. We just doubt what we see. Praise God. And the Bible says we don't go by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. But when you look at it, we don't walk by faith or sight because we don't believe what God said he was going to do, and we don't believe what we actually seen God do. Praise God. They seen him walk on the water. Now, if you can walk on water, you can't come back from the grave. Praise God. If you seen people overcome when they was out there in the world. Amen. One day I was down, next day I was back up. I got back up on my game. Praise God. But now that I'm saved, you think I'm just down and out for the count. Praise God. But if you believe what the word of God say, he say, I rose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where did he rise? He rose above, amen, a way of thinking. Praise God. He rose above it because the stuff around me not going to change. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not going to change. If I have a problem with my wife ain't going to change whatever problem I have until she getting ready to change that, if she ever think it's really a problem. So that's, I can't change her. I can only change me. The same thing with me. She can't change me, praise God, but she can change her. Amen. Meaning, that's just, you ever met somebody? That's just the way he is, child. Gone. He ain't gone. That's just the way he is. Amen. And they're not excusing the way they are. They're saying, I can't do nothing about it. Amen. See, when we rise above that way of thinking, I can't do nothing about the high priest not liking me. I can't do nothing about the fact that Sunday when I was coming into the town, y'all was screaming Hosanna and oh Lord, we love you, and y'all waving palms, and then four, 5 days later, y'all standing up there talking about crucifying. Y'all just said y'all loved me when I got here, and now y'all want to kill me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yo, I couldn't wait. When I got the job, you couldn't wait for me to start and all this other stuff. Now I got the job and you treat me like crap on the job. Now I wish I never would have got the job. Hallelujah. When he came into the town, they loved him, but amen. After 4 days, they was ready to kill him. Praise God. Crucify him. See, this stuff didn't change in Jesus' life. Nothing changed in Jesus' life. Praise God. He walking with him. Now, what happened now? Well, you ain't hear about what happened. They killed him. They killed who? They killed Jesus. What? They did. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he says, I've risen above all that. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to rise above it. Because it's not going to change. We waiting on everybody. We wait. Well, how long are we going to wait on Donald Trump to change? Praise God. How long are we going to wait on the boss at the job to change? Praise God. Hallelujah. How long are we going to wait on we waiting on stuff to change. Praise God. Amen. But God is waiting on you to change. He's waiting on us to change. Praise God. Because once we change, then we can walk around like Jesus did. He walked around. So many undeniable proofs. Hallelujah. Yeah, I went through, but I done rose above all of that. Amen. I done rose above y'all killing me, y'all talking about me, y'all mocking me, y'all spitting on me. Ain't nothing, ain't nothing that changed. They still look, they looking for me right now. Ain't nothing changed. Praise God. But I have risen above it. I've risen above it so much that they can't get to me. I've risen above it so much that Thomas, you can't get to me. Hallelujah. Tom, now you got to admit, amen, that's why I say I like to study the humanity of Jesus. If you was walking around with somebody like Thomas, wouldn't he get on your nerves? Everything I do, you doubting. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was some kind of camera trick. I don't know how he did it. It was some kind of camera trick. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. All I did was speak the word of God, and it came to pass. Praise God. But people don't want to believe it. Amen. When God starts, I have a friend in California. We always like talking about Illuminati and stuff like this. And he's always talking about, well, Steve Harvey got to be an Illuminati. He just got too much money. He got too many TV shows. I say, just because he's blessed, he's got to be in the Illuminati. God could not have just blessed this man. Praise God. And I say, if you keep talking like that, when God begins to bless you, guess what? You're going to look on YouTube and they go, oh, my Minister Ray is in the Illuminati. 10 things in his sermon that points that out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm a gospel rapper also. I told him, I say, somebody could take one of my songs and pick it apart so quick and say, look, Illuminati right there. He's one of them enlightened ones. You got to watch him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because that's what people can't accept what God does. So when Jesus rose from the grave, amen, the first thought that everybody went to is somebody stole the body. The disciples were saying the Romans stole it. The Romans were saying, amen, that the disciples stole it. Everybody was saying the Jews stole it. The Gentiles stole it. Somebody stole it. Praise God. They never thought, well, maybe he just rose. Nah. I can see him thinking about it for a second. Maybe, well, nah, not even Peter didn't believe this. He had to walk in on them, and that be the problem with us. Praise God. Amen. Because when we drop down to verse 19, it says, the same day, that evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto them. Hallelujah. Now, this is where it applies to us, the disciples. Praise God, because we as disciples, it's the first day of the week. Hallelujah. We go through this every week. Every Sunday we come to church. Praise God. And what did Mary Magdalene do in the previous verse? Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, in every church across the country, what do the pastor do every Sunday morning? He comes and says, I've seen the Lord. He's spoken to me and told me to tell you these things. Praise God. And we hear what the pastor then said. Amen. Whether it be a male or a female, or whether it be a child, whether it came through a song. Well, however the word came, we heard the word, but on that same day the Bible says they were in a room with the doors shut in fear. Praise God. A lot of us do that. We come to church on Sunday morning. The pastor will preach a good word. I don't care, amen, if it's Creflo or TD or Page or amen. Praise God. We hear the word. We shout. We run around. Run around the church of God in Christ. I was ready. They get up and just start running for no reason. Run around the church. Praise God. But then that same evening, they locked inside. Even though they didn't heard the word of God. But they locked inside because it's real easy to be in the spirit while we're in the church. Mm-hmm. Praise God. It's real easy to listen to the pastor and say amen. Praise God when we're in the church. But what are we doing later on that day? Mm-hmm. Praise God. What mindset are we in later on that day? Praise God. Because just like Jesus' rose, have we risen? Praise God. Are we still stuck in our same mindsets and we stay locked in the house in fear? Some people are scared. You know, some people are scared to go outside. They say the best way for me to stay out of trouble is for me to stay in the house. If I stay in the house, I'll stay out of trouble. Praise God, because somebody might look at me the wrong way, and I end up cussing them out. Praise God, and then I got to go repent about that. Amen. Or some woman might pass by, and she might catch my eye, and I might happen to look with adultery in my eye, and here we go. Praise God. It's best that I just stay in the house. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up, because the Lord told me it's all about the power of confession. Amen. James 5 and 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that word may, in the original Greek translation, don't mean like we say may, like it might happen. That word may means to have it to be allowed to be healed. It has to be allowed to be healed. And he says the confession, amen, is what helps us to be healed. See, we can't hold stuff in. Praise God. Just like we have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. The power of that confession gives us salvation. And so the power of us saying, hey, I need you to pray for me in this area. I need you to pray for me in that area. Praise God. But the problem with our confession is something like what I was saying earlier. Praise God. We don't want to confess because, you know, church people like to gossip. Praise God. Hallelujah. And certain people can't confess. I was telling Minister Ray, you can't go in church and confess. You know, I used to be a homemonger and a womanizer because then husbands would start holding on to their wives' hand. Well, you ain't going by him. A woman can't get up and testify. I used to be out there. I would give it up to any guy. No, come here, honey. Come here. You need to sit right here. Don't you go nowhere. Don't go nowhere near the new sister. No. Praise God. And because we make those confessions, people look at us through our confessions. Look at us through the sins we have committed. But the sin does not define who we are. Hallelujah. It just says that we slipped up. It just defines what we did. It does not define who we are. Remember when Jacob was born, even though the angel had told his mama, look, you are pregnant with two nations. Amen. And the younger one's going to serve the older one's going to end up serving the younger one. And these are going to be two mighty nations. Praise God. But instead of giving them a name of power, they call Jacob a heel. Jacob means heel because of something he did before he was even born. And he lived up to being a heel. He began to hustle this person and hustle that person. Amen. He got real prominent off of doing stuff the wrong way. Amen. Hustling and swindling and shysting and lying and manipulating. That's how he came up. Praise God. But he only did that because he was labeled a heel from when he was born. Praise God. Hallelujah. And a lot of us live up to those labels. That somebody, you kissed the boy when you was 12. She fast. So she became fast. Praise God. Both of them little girls like him. He a little player. Oh, I'm a little player. Okay, so I'm going to be a little player because that's what we were labeled. Praise God. But the Bible tells us that we are children of the Most High God. And when we know who we are,